Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better. Even marketing. This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing.
And make your business sizzle.
Can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing. Online marketing. Social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business?
Hey, peeps, I'm excited. I've got a new guest who is somebody very, very interesting. His name is Tomo, and his last name is Albanese. And Tomo works at a company, actually runs a company, started a company, called Words Are Weapons. Ooh. You know, it sounds like it almost sounds like you're the samurai of words, dude. Is that what it's meant to be?
Yeah. Well, you know, weapons are just tools, and so it all depends on how you wield it. You either use a tool for good or evil, man.
I love that. I love that, man. So, how are you doing today?
Oh, I couldn't be better. If I was any better, I'd be twins.
There you go. Ooh. That's a good one. That's the first time I've ever heard that. So we have a common friend, Warren Whitlock, who's been on the show a handful of times, and that's how we got connected. So I wanted to find out more about you. I like people to get to know your backstory. So how did you go from being a child actor to somebody who was paid to party to somebody acts like they can write?
It was a long journey. Filled with many, many mistakes, fueled by the arrogance of youth, and a penchant for adventure. I was convinced all the way up through high school and then into college that I was going to be either a clinical psychologist for children or a forensic psychologist to follow in the pathway of my father, who was a detective. And so I pursued that right up through college. Except that my parents pushed me into theater because I had done so much theater and acting. And they said, oh, you have this tremendous talent. You should totally do this. I got involved in theater, didn't like it. I was going through the major as a theater major because my parents had pushed me into it. And I was like, no, I'm going to go back into psychology. And of course, to pay the bills, you have to do something. So you have to do a lot of sales because if you want to get paid, if you're working at, you know, burger joint or something like that, you're not getting paid much. And again, I like to have adventures and those cost money. So I got into sales, got into marketing, went through a bunch of different jobs while going through college for psychology, and eventually found my way into a job as a travel agent. And that was right during 9/11. So that travel agency sort of folded
because
people stopped wanting to travel. And I needed to find a new job. And so I was looking through the Penny Saver and I saw this martial arts company that was looking to hire writers. And I'd never done any professional writing. I was a freshman, sophomore in high school or college. And, you know, I had a bunch of sales experience. And the most I'd ever done was, you know, write a college essay or two and some high school essays. So I was like, whatever. I scheduled an interview. I go down there, you know, I'm dressed in my Sunday best. And I sell them on hiring me as a writer with a USB drive of high school essays and college essays. I just basically said, I'm going to be indispensable. I'm going to be the best you've ever had. And you're just going to need to teach me the ropes and it's going to be a wise investment. And they bought it hook, line, and sinker. So,
wow.
Yeah. So I became a writer and I specifically actually had a column in their magazine, because this martial arts company, they specialize in martial arts billing. They a lot of martial arts schools, what they want is a relationship with their students, that's, you know, teacher and student, and that gets a little bit awkward when you have to go ahead and stick out your hand and say, hey, by the way, student, please give me money. It makes the relationship more transactional. So this billing company figured that out from this gentleman, Master YK Kim, and they just started offering billing services. So that way there was that little bit of a separation, and that little bit of separation allowed them to go ahead and do marketing and provide all kinds of other ancillary services. And so my job with them was to write this marketing column and write educational content for some of their programs that they use to help these martial arts schools become more profitable. And I did that for, I want to say, 3 to 4 years, and was so focused in on that, was having such a good time learning martial arts and doing writing, that it occurred to me, I am wasting my life not chasing my degree. Mm-hmm. Why am I spending all of this time playing as a writer when I'm supposed to be a psychologist? So I quit that job to re-wrap back and roll in school, because I was having so much fun, I actually stopped going to college. So I needed to get my quote-unquote life back on track. And the point of all of this was that I was homeless for a year, and I had to figure out how to get back to my life. And during the course of being homeless and struggling to, you know, go to school full time or working a full time minimum wage job, I realized I didn't want to be a psychologist. So there was just a bit, I was having like a midlife crisis at 25. My life was just not going anywhere in the direction that I wanted it to. And so I did some soul searching and realized what I really wanted most, the time I was happiest in my life, was when I was writing. I loved the entire process of it. And so I dropped out of school and decided to become a writer. And the way I did that was I just worked backwards. I looked at jobs that were looking for hire writers. I would call the people that were hiring the writers and I would ask them what they look for. I would let them know, hey, I'm not a writer yet. I would like to be. What is the kind of stuff that you look for? And just doing that, I worked backwards and built all of the materials from, you know, my old writing job and a writing portfolio. And I wormed my way into working as a content person, and just started working as a writer and built up a career. And here we are.
Very cool. And that's it's a great story. And one of the things that I pull out of this is, you know, with the psychology background, I mean, you brought up something that was near and dear to my heart is, and I never realized this until I got older, is my dad worked for New York Telephone, but his entire job was built around developing courses and teaching. And he taught me as a young kid how to read and do all these other things. And I never realized that he embedded that gene in me. And when somebody asked me a handful of years ago after I wrote my first book, which, you know, I suck at writing, by the way, I've written 4 books and done all this stuff. I figured out how to kind of circumvent all my DDA and ADD and dyslexia and all that stuff. And but they asked me what your superpower was. And I said, teaching. And then all of a sudden the light bulb went off and it's like, huh, I am my father. But going down a different path. So Luke, but Brian. So the thing I got out of that is the psychology, you know, the whole thing about writing is, you know, about getting inside the heads of somebody else and persuading them to do something. I mean, that's really what it's about. And that's what content development is. So let's talk down that road. You know, when you're... So you've got basically a company that produces content for other companies, and I know you work in a lot of different industries. This isn't very, very specific, and there's all different kinds of writers. I mean, I know guys that won't touch anything for less than, you know, $25,000. They'll write you a 1-page sales letter, but yeah, they'll make you $1 million. You know, that's okay. You know, there are other people that you can get $5 articles on Fiverr all day long. But let's define, what is good copy? I mean, when somebody, and why would somebody want to hire a writer to do it? What is the main purpose behind that process?
Results. That's Amen. The only thing that matters with copy. I mean, copywriting is sometimes difficult to find a solid, proven copywriter, because we're salesmen, you know, and salesmen are judged by their sales. They're not judged by anything else. They're judged by their sales. So you've got to be damn persuasive to be even able to pose as a copywriter. But the song and dance aside, you know, whenever we're talking about all of these different rates and all of these different ways that you can evaluate a copywriter, the only thing that matters is, does this get the results that you want when you put people in front of it? And if there's any other question that you're asking beyond that, it better be because that first answer was yes or no, and you're trying to figure out, you know, how to get to a yes.
And that's spot on. I was just on a call with a lady who's gone up and down every single road in the marketing industry. And she says, how do I know that you're different than everybody else? And I said, here's the bottom line. I believe that marketing is an investment. For every dollar that you spend, you need to make three. And that is, you pay for yourself, you pay for the person that's doing the service, and you have to make a profit. And so if you cannot figure out that methodology, then don't do it. It's just that simple. If somebody comes to you and says, I can get you a million followers, I can get you a million followers on Facebook tomorrow. They'll all speak Chinese and they'll never spend a penny with you, but I can get you a million followers. So it's not, the result is, I want sales. I'd rather have 10 people that buy from me than a million people that just like my stuff, you know? So equate that to what you do. I mean, from a writing standpoint, what is a result? How do we measure that? What is the thing that we're looking for?
So the results, I mean, with copywriting, it's very easy. Content's not so easy. Content is more about engagement, but copy, that's about results. And so results are based off of specific actions. Like, we can get into the difference between, say, branding and marketing. But really, when we're talking about copy, we are talking about actions that people are taking. So it's about, do they click? Do they pull out their wallet? Do they buy? Do they return after they've bought? You have to look at the numbers. If you cannot look at the numbers, if you do not know your numbers, and if the copywriter doesn't care about your numbers, then you're not playing the right game. You're playing some other game, and maybe that might be a fun game for you, but that's not the game of what good copywriting is supposed to be.
And I love that. So let's talk about looking at the numbers. So, and you defined something that I thought was very interesting. You said the difference between engagement copy and what I consider to be sales copy, you know. And I'm a firm believer. I always talk about this, is that there's three different levels of social media engagement. There is the very cold person who doesn't know about you. You need to create awareness. So that's what general copy is for. Then you have the warm person, where the content is really important, where you educate them. And then the third part is when you get down to the sale. They need what you have. They're ready to pull out their wallet. You need to make that final convincing step. And that's a process, right? So do you deal with that in the writing world? I mean, do you go through those phases? Is that something that you consult on?
So absolutely. And that's part of the process of content direction, right? So mm-hmm. So I wear a number of different hats. The two main hats are content director and copy director. As a content director, when I'm looking at somebody's content, right, you're still wanting to get certain kinds of results, but you're measuring those results differently, because it's not about dollars in, dollars out. Copy is really straightforward. It's like the easiest thing to measure. It's dollars in, dollars out. Is this going to get conversion or it's not? Are people opting in or are they not? Are they going from the opt-in to the lead or opt-in to sale or are they not? Right? But content, it's a little bit more esoteric, because it's a much longer process. It's similar to the kind of investment that you want to make with your branding. Like when you're branding, like when Coca-Cola and Pepsi, they're blasting their ads on Super Bowl Sunday, it's not because that's translating into cans of Coke and Pepsi going into people's shopping carts. It's because they're battling over market share. They're battling over the size of the pie that they're getting. It's not about the actual translation in sales. And so when you're looking at your content, that's really where that part of it comes into. It's about that engagement. How much time do people like to spend? How much are they talking about what it is that you're talking about? How influential is your content on the broader message and the broader discussion that's happening? You know, how are you able to guide that discussion? It's the flirting part of dating. It's not the actual end game for when the night's done and then you're getting the goodnight kiss.
I love that. That's awesome. So let's make a case for this. Let's go through and talk about, here's the deal. You know, most people, there's so many writers out there that do website content, that do blog content, that do sales copy content and all these other things, you know, Facebook ads, Facebook posts. So,
yeah, everybody that can type on a keyboard thinks they're a writer. That's the issue.
Right. Exactly. And that's the big thing is, is it something that, from a small business standpoint, let's do this. Number one, they go to their website. What do they need to look at to know whether their website is doing something that is generating business? And obviously, I mean, you know, measuring things in Google Analytics helps, picking up the phone, measuring people that are calling, those things help. But what do you think is the biggest mistake when it comes to just people getting aware about a business? What are they missing or what are they not doing as well as they could?
Well, a lot of the times it's just they're going outside of their specialty. I mean, quite frankly, I've written on just an astounding number of topics that, you know, I've got a various levels of expertise on how to articulate them. You know, I've written quite extensively about, you know, we had a client that did does car sales. Now, I've written a lot about car sales. I am not a mechanic. I don't work on my car myself. You know, I don't even change the oil because that's outside of my bailiwick. And so often that's what business owners are really running into, is they're trying to evaluate something that's outside of their bailiwick. They're very, very good at whatever it is that they do. That's why they have any measure of success at all. But when you're talking about evaluating content or evaluating copy, there is a gut level check that has to happen, that you're either able to articulate properly because you can systemize that sort of process because you're that level of an expert, or I'm having to explain to you what my process is, what I'm looking at, and what the elements are. And we're talking about a vast constellation of elements that really need to be put into proportion and looked at. And one of the biggest ways that you can tell that people don't understand this is in the way that courses around content and copy are sold. They're mm-hmm. sold as systems. They're sold like, if you just follow this quick and easy checklist, you too can go ahead and have write like you have a decade of experience manipulating the written word. Like, that's just not true.
Right.
You know, yeah. And so that's, I think that's the first mistake that a lot of business owners make, is that they confuse their familiarity with their ability to just talk about their business with the required level of mastery it takes to understand the dynamic nuances of how a particular person interacts with a particular message, because mm-hmm. who you're talking to really matters, in the same way that you would tell a joke with one of your best friends from college that you'd never tell your mother, and you might never tell in a hotel lobby. And so not understanding the dynamics that are involved with those communication pieces, you're either aware of them or you're functionally blind. And that only comes with a large degree of practice and study.
Right. So let's kind of break it down so that people understand this a little bit more. And I got just a couple more questions for you before we finish up here. And the first one is, okay, so a lot of people, you know, everybody wants a pretty website. You know, it's all about the images. It's all about the design. It's all about this other stuff. And then they go write their own copy. And it's just like, you know, so it turns into... you know, it's like having a beautiful display of dinner and then there's vomit in the middle of the table is the way. So the bottom line is, give me an idea of what people need to invest to kind of correct that problem. And I'm not talking like, you know, total dollars, but I mean, should they be putting like 50% of their budget into writing, 20% of their budget, 90% of their budget? Where do they need to look at to do that, to get it done right?
Right. That's a very interesting question. So what I usually tell my clients is this, is that they can't spend more than they have, right? So, and that's really what matters. And so what they need to do is they need to find an expert that is going to be able to work within their budget while still guaranteeing results. They need to be able to work with an expert that not only guarantees the results verbally, but that they actually have they're offering a solution for accountability. Because if you're a professional and you do not know how to hold yourself accountable to your clients, well, then you're not really operating with a lot of integrity. As far as for what they need to look at in terms of evaluating somebody, really, it's not just what they're having to look at. If I had any advice for a business owner, is forget putting the forget being in charge of evaluating this process yourself. You're too close to it. Instead, give it to a lot of other people who have a lot of other opinions that you can trust and just see what they have to say about it. Oh, that sounds really persuasive. Oh, that really feels right to me. Oh, I like the way this reads. Oh, this is really clear to me. Some of the best places for me to mine regarding the copy that I'm going to write are my clients' testimonials. I can't come up with anything better than what an enthusiastic customer has to say from their own lips, because the language is just that specific to people.
And I love that. I think that's fantastic. All right, last question for you. So we've evaluated the core content, all this other stuff. But let's face it, results equal action. Action is the CTA, the call to action. What is the thing that you think most people miss when they're trying to get somebody convinced to take some action, whether it's pick up the phone, fill out a form, or purchase something online? What do they need to laser focus on?
They need a laser focus on basically explaining that water is wet. If the conclusion at the end of whatever that piece is, when it's a piece of persuasive copy, it's designed for an action. If the conclusion is not that water is wet and so you need to dry it with a rag, and this is where the rag is, if it's not that clear, then you're done messed up. Because people do not need to be thinking and rationalizing. They need to feel that it's true. And then they need to know exactly what to do. I mean, a large part copywriting is simply inspiring an emotion that elicits a need for an action. And you're guiding what that action is. You're creating this emotion and tying it to this action. And they either feel it and then are acting on it, or they're not. And so if it's not fast enough and it's not clear enough to bypass... If somebody goes ahead and spits in your face, do you even think about what your reaction is? Or do you just react? It's got to be that visceral. It's got to be that much of a gut reaction for them to go ahead and buy. Mm-hmm. And then it's got to last. You know, then you're counting on all of these other elements that come into it. But when you're talking about getting that buying response, I mean, it's got to be just that clear to them, not just objectively, but emotionally. They have to be able to rationalize it, because they're feeling it first. And then they're coming up with all the facts that make it make sense.
See, I love that. And you've solved two key things that I think everybody needs to think about. And you call it a spit in the face. I call it a punch in the gut or a kick in the groin. Either one. You know, it's the same thing. It gets your attention. First and foremost, it's got to get your attention. And then the second thing it has to do is say, you are speaking to me. You know, you're speaking my language. And I think those are the two things that are uber important. You just put it in a way that I thought was incredibly interesting and well done. So nice job, dude. So on that note, I know that I want to go learn more about you. And I know my audience is going to want to learn more about you. So what's the best way for them to check things out?
Well, obviously, the best way is to visit our site, www.wordsareweapons.com, spelled like Toys R Us, which nobody's going to remember 5 years from now how Toys R Us is spelled. But yes, words, the letter R, weapons.com. And then, of course, you can, I believe fully in transparency and being able to engage with people. So if you can find me on Facebook, if you send an email to my admins on my site, I'm always happy to do what I can to answer questions and help people, because that's what we're all here for. You know, we're all in this world together.
I love it, man. Well, I so look forward to talking to you again, because there's so many questions. And again, you know, we could spend hours doing this. I know you spent like 3 hours talking to Warren, which is not hard to do. But I've got a lot more that I'd love to get, you know, to kind of pick your brain on, because I think the you know, again, you know, there's arts. There's so many different arts that come together in marketing, and it's visual arts, it's written arts, it's audio arts, which is where my strength is. You know, all of these things have different ways of helping people be successful. And I think the really successful people are the ones that understand what their strengths are and when to invest in something that's going to help them do their job better. So, and I think copy is one of those things that is kind of like, it is kind of like the oriental art of origami. You know, it's really super cool when you look at it, but it's like, how the heck did they do that? So, so I love the name of your business, you know, Words Are Weapons, and I love the concept concepts. And man, it has been a blast talking to you. You dropped some sizzling hot bacon knowledge bombs on my peeps, baby. So thank you again for your time, your input, and your insights, man. This has been great.
Hi, thank you, brother, for the bacon.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.